This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail, cheaters, and welcome to another episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Brandon, and as always, I'm joined by Josh on the other line. Josh, I have a quick question for you.
First, what is that, Brandon?
Say hello first.
Hello.
Okay, so my question is, who are you going to bring into your FPL squad in game week 21? Who from Exeter, Oxford, or Shrewsbury?
Oh, I'm all in on the Shrews. Now, the sad thing is, you know, Corinthian Casuals went out in the last round, and I would ideally, and you can only pick three players in the fantasy league, but I would try to find a way to get all Corinthian Casuals.
As you can tell, we have full blown FA Cup fever here at Always Cheating. The big news in Always Cheating land is actually that we're official season ticket holders for NYCFC.
I am very excited about this. Now, we have been kind of half, I won't say joking. I mean, because we bring up Poku way more often than we should. I mean, it's kind of neck and neck between who we reference more on the podcast and on Twitter and elsewhere, between Dea Mercy, Mbakani, and Poku.
Yeah, exactly. And Kwadwo Poku, Ghanaian footballer who plays midfield for New York City FC. What a guy.
We saw Poku play this summer, and I have to say, it was my first match at NYCFC. We were there in July, and you know, we kind of went. I mean, we're big. You know, the Premier League is our league. You know, we thought, well, this will be fun. You know, Lampard's there, and Andrea Pirlo's there. Let's go watch these greats. You know, and I don't really care about NYCFC that much. But then this guy comes along, Poku. Steals our hearts. Should have scored like eight goals in the game. Scored one at the end.
So we had this fever. We had this amazing ticket agent on the phone who was helping us buy the season ticket package. So shouts to NYCFC for their excellent customer service. So this guy on the phone, he's like, "So, you know, you have any favorite players on the team?" And I was like, "Definitely Poku. Could you arrange for me to meet Poku?" And he didn't really answer my question there. He sort of laughed it off and moved on. So I'm still not sure if we're going to have a chance to meet Poku or not, but we're going to try. Wow. We're going to try very hard.
Hopefully we'll meet Poku. If we get some Poku picks, we'll share them.
Poku picks? Do you think we could convince Poku to come on the podcast every week and do Poku Pick Corner?
He should just be the third guy. I think it should be me, you, and Poku that does this Fantasy Premier League podcast every week. So I'm pretty excited about that. So if you are – we're in section 233B, row 10. So come find us in March when the season starts. We'll have our we'll have our brand new scarves, and I'm kind of all in on NYCFC. It does not mean I'm all in on Manchester City.
Oh God, no!
Yeah, that is not. They do not go hand in hand for me.
they're
the same colors.
What about Citigroup's Australian team, Melbourne City?
Oh, very much into that club. I feel like it's a twofer. You know, NYCFC and Melbourne City, but Man City. No, I can't do it.
All right. So in the last episode of the podcast, we covered all of the goings on during the festive period. And now we're here to just exclusively optimize our FPL teams, not for one game week, but we have two game weeks that are going to come up fast and furious, 21 and 22. So how are we going to do this, Josh? How are we going to tackle it?
All right. So we're going to we're just going to take them one game week at a time, but we are going to do them sort of back to back. 20 fixtures total. Games are game week 21 is these matches are Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Game week 22 is Saturday, Sunday. There's actually a match on Monday too. There is a Swansea Watford match on Monday.
Okay, real quick before
which is Martin Luther King Day in America, so I'll have that day off.
Me too. God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Fantastic. Swansea Watford. real quick before we get started, though, let's remind everybody where we are with our own fantasy teams. We talked about wild cards in our last episode and about how we're shying away from playing our January wild cards now because, I mean, this is the first time we played the game where we actually have the entire second half of the season to hold on to that wild card.
So, wait, they're not even January wild cards. They're just second half wild cards.
Right, right. But so I'm sitting on one free transfer, which I haven't made yet. I think you're in the same boat, Josh. We were just waiting to see how all these FA Cup matches shook out to see how we wanted to play our transfer.
Yeah, and it was kind of given that both of us are looking at kind of mid-level midfielders, I'd say it was kind of inconclusive. It was encouraging that Kevin De Bruyne didn't start, although he didn't. It was like the perfect start for De Bruyne because he didn't start the match, and then he came on in like the 60th minute and scored a goal.
Yeah.
So and same thing happened with Payet. He came on at like the 68th minute or something like that, and so just enough to get a little run in, but not enough to concern you because. You know, some of these teams have a lot of matches coming up. So we have the fixtures midweek, and then we have the fixtures at the weekend. But there are also replays that will take place next week. And there are also the second leg of the Capital One Cup. So just tons of matches all taking place over the next few weeks. And I think we're actually more likely to see rotation over the next few weeks than we actually saw during Christmas, where we saw very little, honestly. Almost all of the top players played basically every game week. I mean, if they weren't injured, I mean, I know Aguero didn't play, play one of those matches.
Yeah. I don't think I got a single bench player into my squad during those three game weeks.
Yeah. I had one, and it was just Micah Richards who didn't play because of injury. So yeah, that was it.
Okay, Josh. So, do you have your helmet on? Are you strapped in? Are you ready for me to flip the switch on our optimizer?
I feel pretty good. I have my hands on the armrest. My hair is blowing back. I'm like the guy in the old Maxell speaker ad. Just very, very ready to go here.
You should definitely look up that picture on Google if you get a chance, just to see how Josh looks while being in the optimizer, the always cheating optimizer.
We'll post on the always cheating Facebook page.
All right, so our first fixture that we're going to optimize for is Aston Villa hosting Crystal Palace. This is Tuesday, January 12th. How are we feeling about this match? I called it last week that I'm kind of thinking that Villa has a chance here.
I think it's funny because I remember about 10 weeks ago me saying that, eventually they're going to go on a run. Every team in the league goes on a run, even teams that get relegated. But here we are 20 weeks in, they're on 8 points. They're 11 points, 11 points in the drop zone right now. So because Swansea is in 19 points. They're the ones that they're in 17th place.
Right, right.
So they have to make up 11 points in the last 18 game weeks to even, to have a shot. It's going to be really tough for them. So they have to win matches against teams like Crystal Palace. I know Crystal Palace is still sort of in a slightly inflated spot in the table, I think, given their defense is good, but their attack is really all over the place, and a lot of players haven't really performed well this year.
Yeah, they were so scattershot against Chelsea last week, but I guess everyone will be encouraged that it looks like Johan Kabay will be back for the Villa match, so that will definitely give them the stability that they were lacking.
They keep getting goals from their defenders, too. It's incredible. I mean, even over the weekend, Joel Ward scored in a 2-1 win over Southampton. So I think...
And I have to remind people, you remember the first four game weeks of the season, Joel Ward came away with two goals for himself, and he's still priced at 4.5 million.
Yeah, I think, So Ward is definitely undervalued. And I think, I mean, Scott Dan, I think he's up to, is he up to 5.8 now?
Yeah,
so 5.8. From 5 to 5.8. So, yeah, I mean, Joel Ward offers you almost as much attacking value as Scott Dan for $1.3 million less. So, to me, he's a great, cheap defensive midfielder option.
Yeah.
Or defender option, not defensive midfielder. I actually have a player I have Micah Richards, who I was considering starting in this game. He actually limped off yesterday. So he scored a goal for Aston Villa yesterday, but then limped off at the end, and I guess he's kind of a doubt for this game. I don't think I'll start him. He'll probably be the first guy on my bench in this game. Mm-hmm. I just think that honestly, you have to imagine that Crystal Palace will win this game like 1-0 or 2-0. I would definitely start any Crystal Palace defenders if I had them. I mean, to think that Aston Villa would win, it would be based just on a feeling, right? I mean, there was no like logical reason to think that Aston Villa would win this game.
No, yeah. I mean, my prediction is really based on how Crystal Palace looked against Chelsea, and that's probably just a fluke performance right there.
Yeah. And I mean, Aston Villa just drew with Wycombe.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have that.
No, you can't have that. Though, did you notice my Villa midfield pick from one of our earlier podcasts, Carles Gil, that amazing goal that he scored?
Finally came through.
Yeah, against Sunderland. He had a great scissor goal. So we'll see. Maybe Carles Gil will show up against Crystal Palace. But my decision to make here is I have David De Gea in goal, potentially away to Newcastle, or start Wayne Hennessy away to Villa in this match. And I think you're trying to convince me to start Wayne Hennessy against Villa.
It's a tough one. I actually have Chris Smalling, I'm certainly planning to start Smalling away to Newcastle. I don't know. I honestly, like, just like hand on heart, I actually think that you would be better off starting Hennessy over De Gea.
I wish I could play them both.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe you can bench boost this week, Brandon.
Maybe it's time.
Use the chip. Who else do you have on your bench? Let's say you actually played a bench boost this week. Who else would be coming in on your bench boost?
Assuming no transfers, the way I have my team set right now on my bench, I would have Ross Barkley, Robert Huth, and my main man, Reese Oxford.
Okay, is Oxford getting any minutes at all?
He got 6 minutes. He got 6 minutes against Aston Villa in game week 18. And okay, apart from that, he hasn't seen any minutes since game week 4. So,
you probably can't do the bench boost until you get rid of Oxford.
Yeah, no, it's true for sure.
So what do you think? Are you leaning one way or the other?
I don't know. It's a money thing. I always have a tendency to start my more expensive. When there's ever a debate, I just always gravitate toward the more expensive GK. So
yeah.
De Gea might get the start. He really might.
It does feel like this season has proven, though, that you just can't. I mean, you look at someone like Dele Alli, who's performing more like an 8 million midfielder, you know, and it's so hard to see past the price with him.
Yeah. But if you look at consistent defensive performances, Man United is just far more reliable than Crystal Palace. I totally buy your argument, and Hennessy is a very good option here. But if I just go down to consistency, I have a little more faith that United is going to be that much more organized.
Yeah, it's probably the odds are both games will be clean sheets. So, yeah, I can see. Okay, yep. Next match, another one of the – there are three matches on Tuesday and then seven on Wednesday. The second Tuesday match is Bournemouth hosting West Ham. West Ham on the backs of two straight 1-0 wins, 1-0 win over the weekend, and then a 1-0 win at home. Actually, three wins in a row for West Ham. They've won their last three.
So this is Dimitri Payet time. I mean, a lot of people bringing him in with their wild card or even with their free transfer. He's probably going to start this game.
I would think so. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, he hasn't started yet, so does he finally start in this match? I mean, it is Bournemouth. I mean, it's not like they're playing a team like Arsenal or Man City or whomever, where they feel like they have to start him right from the beginning to get points of the match. They may take a little bit of a chance and bring him in at halftime or the 50th minute.
I think he starts because bringing a guy in as a sub in the 60-odd minute. Two games in a row, I feel like that means he's ready for a start. If they're bringing him in around the 80th minute, then I would be a little more concerned. But yeah, the fact that he's getting a 30-minute run out at a time makes me feel like his fitness level is close enough to where it might need to be to start and play 60 minutes and then come out and sit on the bench.
Yeah, well, maybe so. I'm right now I'm going back and forth between Payet and Willian. Delafeu's got to go. The Delafeu experiment has gone on as long as it possibly can. So I think Payet and Willian seem like the most likely picks. You know, the Willian was a little – I was really leaning towards Willian until today's match, until Chelsea's FA Cup match. And now that Oscar and Costa are doubts for the West Brom game, you know, I don't know how much it affects Willian really. Probably Costa a little more than Oscar affects him. Because, you know, all those free kicks, although I mean I don't know. I guess he could still take a free kick, you know, on the edge of the box and score a goal. So, and he's more likely to play 90 minutes than Payet. So, I mean, I'm just like flipping a coin on that one.
Yeah, and foreseeing a clean sheets for Chelsea too. That's perhaps an easy at least 3 points for Willian each time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so but prediction for this Bournemouth-West Ham game, I'm feeling like West Ham is going to walk away with a pretty easy win against Bournemouth.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Bournemouth's form is actually pretty decent. They've won 3 of their last 6, so they've actually only lost 1 match in their last 6 matches. To Arsenal. I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, it's like they look pretty good at home. They look a little stronger defensively at home. I think this game could end up being like a 1-1 draw, actually. And, right. You know, I think that you said you were considering possibly making a couple moves to bring in Harry Kane. Like you might be dropping Barkley.
Yeah, I've had a rotation problem in my midfield because I have 5 nailed on starters in my midfield and I just have terrible benching anxiety every game week. Yeah. So I'm looking to drop Ross Barkley for like a 4-point sub 4.5 if possible midfielder, and that could afford me to turn Jamie Vardy into Harry Kane.
Right. So it seems to me like the Bournemouth midfielders would be the way to go, right? If you were trying to free up a lot of cash right now, I would be looking at those 4.5 million Bournemouth midfielders. I think maybe King in particular, or I don't know. I mean, maybe Stanislaw. Stanislaw was a little more exciting maybe a month or so ago.
Yeah, I feel like it's
quite been as much.
It's a little bit of a coin flip with the two of them, I think, and it just depends on game to game.
Yeah. I mean, King is unreliable.
Yeah, Gareth Barry was the other one I was considering, but he's just like straight up holding midfield. You're not going to get a lot of points from him.
Yeah,
you're going to get a lot of yellow cards.
Yeah, and he's gonna steal the occasional Delafeu assist, but mm-hmm. I think outside of that he's just not a great option.
It's a straight bench boost. To go back to what we were talking about earlier, it's a straight bench boost transfer. Hopefully, because I hope to never have to play this midfielder.
Yeah, I think I would definitely go Stanislaw if I were you. I mean, it's 4.2 million. So even if he just sits there on the bench and never plays, you're investing less money in him. And right. If he comes on, there's at least a chance that he might score at some point.
Let's move on to Newcastle, Manchester United.
Man U, I don't know if you saw any of the highlights of this match, Brandon. I actually caught the second half of this one. Man U, I mean, like typical Man U awfulness, really. I mean, just no, I don't understand. I mean, if I were a Man U fan, I would be just like bleeding from the eyeballs. Like I want just wanting Van Gaal to go so badly. I mean, I don't know. He has ruined this team, right? I mean, yeah. this is an absolutely painful Man United. It's so against the ethos of Man United. This spirit and this fire that they've had forever, right? For 25 years under Alex Ferguson.
Right. A team you might hate with a passion, but still sort of secretly
admire
and watch. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. They were always fun to watch. And now it's just, you know, it's such a disaster. And they got just incredible luck. I mean, this Sheffield defender just made a – I mean, you know, he fouls Memphis in the box in, like, the first minute of extra time. And, you know, Memphis did make a meal of it a little bit, but there's a cleat on the leg, you know? I mean, if you make a slide tackle in the box and your cleat catches the guy's leg, that's a penalty –
yeah,
every day,
right?
So you know, so they Wayne Rooney, you know, scores the penalty. They win 1-0. They're on to the next round. So maybe that win gives them a little bit of an energy boost. I don't know. It's hard to be inspired by anyone in that Man U attack, I will say.
It's tough. My main question is defensive with United. As I was talking about De Gea, no, I don't think anyone's concerned about playing attacking United assets, but which United team is going to show up? Also, which Newcastle team is going
to
show up?
I have Chris Smalling, and I'm planning to start him in this match, but I don't actually feel that good about it because this Newcastle team, there's no one player that scares you on this Newcastle team, but there are lots of players who kind of on their day are scary, you know, right. they'll pop up and have a really nice, I mean, we've seen this with Perez this season. We've seen it with,
Mitrovic,
you know, we've seen it with Wijnaldum, you know, maybe most sort of famously.
Yeah.
So it's unclear, who's going to do that, but it seems to happen at least once a game. It is a translated into wins for them, but I think that you often like they're particularly at home, I would say, they're a team that's a little scary because you could see this being kind of like that Newcastle Chelsea game, you know, about 10 weeks ago where, you know, Man U's the better team, but Newcastle just keeps nicking goals, you know, here and there.
Yeah. I want to predict a clean sheet here. I'm going to go for a nil-nil draw.
Okay. I think I'll go 1-1. I think it's a 1-1 draw. Next match is Chelsea hosting West Brom. So we talked about Chelsea a little bit earlier in the podcast. Diego Costa, who was turning into a bit of a sexy pick, is now a doubt for this West Brom game. We expect him not to play.
Yeah, which is ruining a lot of people's active wild cards right now. He was picked as a huge differential.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, Willian probably is a little less attractive. I think this is probably the most guaranteed clean sheet of any of the matches. I cannot imagine West Brom scoring a goal in this game. So yeah. if you have like a head to head or something that you have to win, bring in a Chelsea defender because West Brom is not going to score. I feel like I want to make some sort of guarantee. Like I'll give like everyone who listens $1 or something if West Brom scores a goal in this game.
Wow, free tacos.
Yeah, send me your PayPal accounts. So I think this is a 2-0. This is a Mourinho style 2-0 game. I think Willian will be involved in some of the goals, you know, particularly actually if Oscar and, you know, Hazard is definitely out for this West Brom game. Oscar's probably out and Diego Costa's all out. So you're going to need Willian to be very much the center of the attack. Maybe Pedro finally does something.
Maybe.
West Brom had
That's
really
a big maybe.
Yeah, and West Brom it's just not looking very good for them right now. And they had a pretty discouraging 2-2 draw against Bristol City.
At least Berahino scored for them. I mean, he's been, like, just incredibly absent for this entire season. What, like, 90% of West Brom's goals have come from their defenders so far?
Yeah.
Your Craig Dawsons, your Jonas Olsons of the world.
And, I don't know, has the rumor mill like picked up at all with Berahino? Do we think he might move to Spurs or somewhere else? Or
I haven't seen anything. I really haven't.
You really just don't see a lot of January is just it's the most overhyped transfer window. You know?
Yeah.
I mean
yeah,
the regular transfer window is overhyped enough, but January is even worse. Like no moves ever happen in January. It's always these little 7 million moves, these you know, bringing in backups or whatever. I know occasionally you'll get like you know, like a Daniel Sturridge or an Andy Carroll move or something like that. But it feels like the last 2 or 3 years, we haven't seen anything significant happen in January. Sort of the most famous example being Arsenal bringing in Kim Kallstrom
a broken back.
Broken back. I think he played about 45 minutes over the last 20 weeks of the season. This was when Arsenal was in first place, too. It was very discouraging as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
All right. That's neither here nor there.
The thing that's driving me crazy about this game is I see a lot of people out there talking about how they're going to get Ivanovic into their defense. And this is just very bizarre talk to me because Ivanovic somehow is still priced at 6.5 million, which just seems ludicrous for a guy who was a laughing stock for the first half of this season.
Yeah, it just seems like you can get the same attacking and bonus point threat from Azpilicueta, who plays plays on the left as opposed to the right for Ivanovic. And if you want an attacking fullback, you can get that for one full million cheaper from Azpilicueta. So over the season, Azpilicueta has 7 bonus points, 1 goal, 2 assists. Ivanovic, you know, he had one big game like 4 weeks ago, that match when they were home to Sunderland, where he had a goal and assist. But other than that, he hasn't done that much. You know, same amount of bonus points, one goal, one assist on the season, so one assist less. I mean, I know that's kind of like hair splitting, but, you know, still, I mean, he's certainly not offering more of an attacking threat. If this were Ivanovic versus Azpilicueta like a year or two ago, obviously Ivanovic would be the player to go with. But
yeah,
it seems like you can just save the money.
Yeah, it's kind of been the narrative all season long with people talking about Chelsea, is always waiting for Chelsea to turn the corner. And we saw this with Hazard, where everyone brought him in just on the hope that he was going to hit form, and forgetting how Chelsea has looked all season. It's the same with Ivanovic. It just seems crazy to me that people have this optimism for him.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that brings us to, let's get away from this match. That's not going to be a fun match to watch, I guarantee it.
Yikes.
Let's move to Man City Everton.
Okay, so we're all going to captain Sergio Aguero for this game. There are a couple of other appealing fixtures, but Everton's defense is radioactive right now, and Aguero is finally hitting form. He himself had a goal in the FA Cup match over the weekend. You're not looking to get him into your squad just yet, are you, Josh?
No, I'm not. I mean, it was a little scary that he scored again in the FA Cup match yesterday. I wasn't incredibly blown away by his performance in the Leicester match, and as we've talked about endlessly on the podcast, I mean, just, he has not been a consistent scorer at all this year, and his price is insane. You know, it's so high that you have to – I mean, it would require like real – I would have to burn probably 8 points to bring him in this week.
Yeah, I'm totally going against everything I just said about Ivanovic, me talking about taking a 13.1 very wildly inconsistent striker and captaining him in my squad. But I can understand –
Yeah.
This is what I've been waiting for. I've been hanging on to Aguero through these really trying times.
And yeah.
And finally, I've gotten exactly to where I want to be, where he is a real differential for anybody who has him.
Yeah, he is, at least until the wild cards are really, you know, sort of employed in full force. Mm-hmm. I think that, I would captain him this week if I had him too. I mean, the Everton without James McCarthy is just not the same team. They just don't they don't link up well, and they tend to get exposed, and it's very hard for them to keep a clean sheet right now. So I think I could see Man City win this. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I will say Everton looked better in their home match to Tottenham last week. It was really fun. Like, both teams really were at their best, I thought. It was a really exciting match. But
I agree.
I think away to Man City, we could – if Lukaku doesn't play, that's definitely a problem. I mean, the Everton is a little banged up right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Lukaku hobbled off this weekend with an ankle problem.
Seamus Coleman's out for about 4 weeks.
Yeah. That's a knee injury with him?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, and without Coleman, I mean, Coleman is such an escape valve for them sometimes too, you know, so it may actually lead to them tightening up a little bit on defense. I mean, because Coleman, like, he spends like almost no time in his own half, you know.
Right. It could be a blessing in disguise for them just to have to tighten up in the back.
Exactly. So I can't imagine Everton winning this game, but I think like 3-1 Man City. And I'm definitely looking very closely at Kevin De Bruyne as my captain for this game week.
Right, so the numbers will show that De Bruyne has had very woeful away form, but this is the time for KDB because we have two home fixtures for Man City in a row, Everton, then followed by Crystal Palace. So the patience with KDB will hopefully pay off here at 21, yeah. Game week 21-22.
So we kind of, you know, it's interesting because we, you know, we sort of hit the end of this really great run of fixtures for Everton, you know, and they're away to Man City and Chelsea the next two game weeks. But it's hard to just completely purge yourself of all their assets because after those two matches away, they have Swansea, Newcastle, and West Brom at home in three. So in game weeks 23, 24, and 26, they have three really plum home fixtures. And they have an away match to Stoke sandwiched in there. So, I mean, you don't want to just get rid of everybody. And certainly, you know, Lukaku to me is one of the true must-own players in the league. Even if he doesn't play this week, even if he's out for 2 weeks, it might be worth benching him because you really want him for those three home fixtures.
He was the only thing that came out of the lauded Everton run was his consistent goal-scoring form.
Absolutely.
To drop him now, I mean, assuming this ankle injury doesn't turn into something serious –
yeah.
Definitely keeping him. But
if he plays in this Man City game, I could see him getting some kind of attacking point, you know, whether it's a goal or an assist.
Yeah, Man City's defense is no big shakes, particularly when Kompany's still out.
Yeah, exactly. So, I could see Kolarov getting points, whether it's clean sheet or attacking points in this game. It's just that he takes those corners. I mean, that's, you know, he's one of the few defenders who takes corner kicks.
Hey, speaking of Vincent Kompany, I have to stress that everyone go check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/alwayscheating. We have another great movie poster Photoshop from Mitchell Maynard. This time it's the Scarlett Johansson movie, In Good Company. ScarJo just has the most loving embrace over Vincent Kompany's shoulder, and he looks happier than I've seen him recently.
Yeah, I think we're going to ship that. I think we're company ScarJo shippers.
All right, so movie posters aside, let's
let's move on.
I'll go with your 3-1 prediction too, there, Josh.
Okay, cool. All right, next match is Southampton Watford.
Wow, so Southampton is just among the teams in the worst form right now.
Yep, they're down there. They've lost 4 of their last 5 matches. The only one they didn't lose was the thrashing of Arsenal. So explain that to me, please. That's rhetorical.
If you go to Twitter, always cheating at Hail Cheaters, we have a question from Adam Beasley who's saying, if Vardy stays injured after game week 21, I'm debating doubling Ighalo with Deeney. Is that crazy? I tend to believe that is crazy, but now I'm looking at this Southampton fixture, and you have to believe that there are goals in this one for Watford.
Yeah, I think it's a little crazy. I think that there are probably better ways to spend. Even if you wanted, even someone like Anthony Martial would be an interesting. You know, if you wanted a differential forward line, I think there are better places to spend your money.
I'm not even sure where you would spend. You'd have so much money in your pocket. I mean, I assume that Adam Beasley has Sergio Aguero up front. It's a compliment. Deeney and Ighalo.
Yeah. What about like Bojan? I think I'd rather have Bojan over one of those two players. Like, I think I'd probably have Bojan over Deeney. Although Deeney did score this weekend. Watford won 1-0 over the weekend in the FA Cup, and he was the lone goal scorer.
I am all about diversification. And
whether it's in life or in the Premier League.
Absolutely. You're talking about mutual funds. You're talking about 401k, mm-hmm. any of that. You're talking about FPL. I'm talking about diversification. Mm-hmm. But granted, Watford is pretty high up there in the form table. But unless a team is like competing for Champions League spots, I'm very loath to double up on them for attacking points.
You really want to double up on teams that are in the top 4. I mean, you know, it's one thing to double up on teams that are like you can definitely double up on the Arsenal midfield right now. Although actually, even that hasn't really worked. It's always a risk, you know, to double up on in any particular position on the same team.
Yeah,
I mean,
a
lot of people had like you know Ozil and Ramsey or Ozil and Walcott, and really it was just Ozil. he was the only one. I guess there were the 2 weeks when. When Ramsey performed really well, before, you know, kind of before the holiday fixture started,
right?
But in general, it doesn't tend to pan out.
So the Southampton defense continues to be a problem. I mean, we're both still sitting on Virgil van Dijk woefully. Are you encouraged at all by their chances at a clean sheet against Watford next Tuesday?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Watford have had they lost their last 2 matches. You wonder if some of the magic is going away. I mean, it's the same problem that all these smaller clubs have. You know, it's just there are so many fixtures that have to be played right now, and they just they don't have the squad depth to rotate at all. So, you know, I mean, Agallo did what was on the bench for the FA Cup match this weekend, which I think was helpful. But, you know, they're going to have to play both Deeney and Agallo basically almost all the time.
Yeah.
So they've lost the last two. They're away to Southampton. Southampton did just lose to Crystal Palace. You know, and they're on this terrible run of form. So I can see Watford winning this game. But it's a tough one. I'm definitely planning to start Van Dijk in this match, but yeah, I don't feel too confident that I'm going to keep my clean sheet.
All right, so the next match is Stoke versus Norwich City. Definitely one for Stoke to continue their high-flying form. I mean, Norwich under Alex Neil is starting to actually reclaim some respectability over the last few weeks. You know, thanks in part to DM Mercy Mobakani, of course. So, and we saw the front four for Stoke City all get rested in the FA Cup. Afellay, Bojan, Shaqiri, and Arnautovic all were rested. So they will be hardy and looking to score goals.
Yeah, and they won anyway, which is kind of amazing. Jonathan Walters.
I mean, yeah, the old gray man himself, Jonathan Walters.
I feel very good about Stoke in this match, despite Norwich's. So Norwich did just lose 3-0 in the FA Cup to Man City, and I mean, if Stoke, if they can't keep a clean sheet in this one, I'd really be surprised. This seems like I don't feel quite as confident as I do in my Chelsea clean sheet pick. Yeah. But I really think that this is like a classic 2-0 win, and Arnautovic is another. So I talked about, you know, so Willian and. And Payet and Arnautovic are kind of the three sexy midfielder picks right now.
Yeah.
And I think
I feel like the Arnautovic chatter has died down just a little bit because he finished with 1 point against West Brom.
And their run of fixtures is pretty – well, okay, they have two good fixtures in a row. they're let's see. They have they're home to Norwich and they're home to Arsenal. And I actually feel pretty good about that home match to Arsenal, just given how they performed, you know, against the top teams at home the last few weeks. I mean, you know, they made Man City and Man United look really bad in the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. So I think they look. I would feel pretty confident about that one. And then away to Leicester, I mean, there's, you know, Leicester has tightened up a little bit, but you could definitely see goals in that one. You know, away to Man United, maybe that's a trickier one, but certainly the next three game weeks are. You know, times to have, or, you know, to be worth investing in a Stoke midfielder or a forward, I think.
Well, and Glenn Johnson, who I've had now for 2 weeks and got a total of 2 points from him, I need a clean sheet badly from him against Norwich. He owes it to me.
He kind of does. That's true. It's encouraging that Norwich has, you know, they have back-to-back clean sheets. So that's something, you know, they really couldn't keep a clean sheet at all the first, you know, 15 or so weeks of the season. So I don't think I still have Russell Martin. I don't think I'll start him this game week, but it makes me feel better about that away match to Bournemouth next week, and where I probably would start him.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Swansea Sunderland. Swansea hopefully continuing their ascendancy without a new manager.
Yeah, so they've officially decided that they're going to keep their current manager for the rest of the season. So Alan Curtis is going to lead Swans through the end of the season, which is really, I mean, do they want to go down? Like, I can't believe. I mean, he has done nothing to encourage him or think that that he's the man to keep them up. You know, I mean, they have
looked better,
a little better, I guess. I mean, they. You know, I don't know. I mean, they have a draw, like, in their last two game weeks. They're giving up the chance for the new manager bump.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, how much do you pay just to bring somebody in, a Martin O'Neill type, who, you know, maybe they're not the long term option, but you just win like three games in a row because everyone just kind of gets a little more juice when the new manager comes in.
It's true. I guess you got to be worried just sitting on 19 points, just out of the drop zone.
Yeah, I am a little worried about this team. I mean, there's just not that one player on the team who can just put them on his back and just like get him to 16th place. And you know, you can just chalk it up to a tough year. But I mean, who is that player? I mean, maybe Ayew, although Ayew's kind of stopped performing. So
I think that's why people are being a little more optimistic about Swansea, though, despite all this, because Gylfi Sigurdsson has been at least visible the last two or three game weeks.
Yeah, that's true. And
he's that sort of guy that could be a talisman for that team. And he's proven player in that midfield. He's a proven goal scorer.
Yeah, they did just lose to Oxford United today in the FA Cup, 3-2. But they got goals from – actually, I think it's for the best. Like, they don't want to be in the FA Cup right now. This is not their priority. Their priority is to get through this season. But they got goals from Jefferson Montero and Bafétimbi Gomis in this game, which is – fantasy aside, I mean, I don't think – I mean, you could make a case for investing in the Swansea defenders for sure. But the attacking options to me are not. I've heard some people talk about Andre Ayew as a possible option, but I don't know how you could pick him right now, given his form and given, you know, I mean, someone like Willian just, you know, to me, he just stands out so much more prominently as the kind of player you want to bring in right now, or, you know, Payet for that matter.
Hey, maybe Ayew comes into this game looking to prove the entire continent of Africa wrong for not giving him that African Player of the Year trophy.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. I think this is going to be a tough one for Swansea. I mean, they should win. If they're losing at home to Sunderland, they really might go down this year. But this is like a true six pointer. I mean, we're far enough into the season now. These you know, we're looking at a real relegation battle.
Sunderland, despite them being terrible, can at least score goals with guys like Jermaine Defoe or like Fabio Barini will occasionally chime in there and do something.
I think this is a 2-1 Swansea win. I think they'll find a way to scrap together two goals, and then someone like Jermaine Defoe will nick a goal at the end.
Right. Okay. All right. So a marquee fixture then to follow that, it's Liverpool hosting Arsenal, but it is a Liverpool squad that has been crazily decimated by injuries, and they'll be definitely looking to Brad Smith to carry them. Carry them at Anfield against the Gunners.
Oh, yeah, it's all Brad Smith and Jerome Sinclair just carrying that team right now.
I don't know. When Brad Smith came in, and was it 1 or 2 weeks ago in that last Premier League fixture, he looked good. He looked hungry. He looked purposeful. Yeah. I don't know that he plays in this game, but...
He probably won't. They'll probably save him for the next FA Cup match.
I'm Team Brad, though.
I feel bad for Jerome Sinclair because he shares a name with Cameron Jerome and Scott Sinclair, and they both suck. So it's kind of hard not to think of him as a player who sucks.
Yes.
the sheer unluckiness of having those two players as, you know, part of his name. I think this Liverpool team, I mean, there's so many injuries right now, and the fixtures are really stacked up against them. I mean, they have Europa League commitments, Capital One Cup commitments. They never got into an FA Cup replay. They've got, you know, two Premier League matches in 5 days. It's a total disaster for them. And I mean, it's always it's hard to ever predict that the away team's going to win a match at Anfield. I think that's always a risky proposition. Like, if I were betting in this game, I'd be right. Nervous about it. But I do think that Arsenal could win this game. I could see them winning like 2-0 even. I have Hector Bellerin, and I'm really debating whether to start him in this match, and I probably will. I just don't know how scared you can be of Liverpool's attack right now.
Yeah, Christian Benteke just looks so slow and so unmotivated, or at least not part of the system up front there. You don't know where the goals are going to come from without Jordan Henderson or Coutinho being a part of that midfield play.
Yeah. They're really hurt by injuries, but you could see a lot of – I feel like this whole team's going to get revamped in the offseason.
So this goes in part with a question we got on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. This one comes from Eric Sibbles. It says, Liverpool are really in trouble this week. Might be worth captaining a gooner or getting use out of Josh's boy, Chris Smalling. So just setting the United part of that aside, are we considering captaining Mesut Ozil in this game? And it sounds like just because it's Anfield, we're shying away from that. I don't know.
If I didn't have a Man City player, I think I would consider captaining Ozil in this game. Or maybe, I mean, Olivier Giroud would be an interesting caption option too, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would definitely like somebody more like Giroud than Ozil.
Yeah, there's a real center back problem for Anfield right now too, and I feel like Giroud can really feast on teams, you know, that have weak center backs. So I think I definitely see some goals from Arsenal in this game. I think I could see them winning this one.
Fantastic. All right, here we are, the last fixture of Game Week 21. Let's make it count, Josh. Spurs are hosting Leicester, which is a repeat of the FA Cup match that we just watched over the weekend. Actually, I didn't watch it, but did you catch any of this match, Josh?
Yeah, I did. I did watch this match. It was kind of an interesting match. It's hard to draw too many conclusions because the teams will look so much different in a couple of days. Okazaki. Thank you. Okazaki scored a really fantastic goal. We put a Vine up of it on Twitter because I was for some reason my Fox Sports it's kind of the feed can be a little weird sometimes. I was actually watching this in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And the Spanish announcers were very, very excited about Okazaki's goal.
It was Messi-esque, the way he weaved in and out of that defense. It was a really beautiful goal.
He's done that a few times this year, too. He's not a consistent starter on that team, but there was a game, I can't remember. You know, he's actually listed as a forward, too, in the FPL. I didn't realize that. Did you know that, Brennan? Is he listed as a forward? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's a striker. I mean, when he plays for Leicester, he's the second striker.
Okay, gotcha. Well, anyway, so he had that game against Everton.
Happy when I know things that you don't know.
The last time he had a full 90 actually was about 4 weeks ago, and he had a goal and assist in that match. But he might have earned a spot in this Spurs game. So Mahrez was on the bench. Vardy obviously didn't play. He's still recovering from surgery. I think he's a doubt. We'll see if he actually starts this. I imagine he'll start in this match. I just can't. It's just too big of a match for him not to play, I think.
When is it all going to go wrong for Jamie Vardy? He's been playing injured all season. When is he finally just going to like explode on the field?
I mean, it's kind of happening already, right? I mean, he has 2 points, 3 matches in a row. So, I mean, the magic from an FBL perspective is definitely gone a little bit. I think it's hard to get rid of him because the next match is a home match to Aston Villa, and it's an away match, but regardless, you can definitely see him scoring some goals in that game, and then they're home to Stoke, which is also kind of an encouraging fixture. So, there are arguments for and against Robin Vardy, I suppose. I mean, if you just desperately want to bring Aguero into your team, then I guess Vardy's the one you'd want to get rid of because you can't get rid of Lukaku and I think I wouldn't want to get rid of Kane either. Although it becomes a very expensive forward line if you've got Lukaku, Kane, and Aguero, right? What is that? That's about a 30 million forward line, which is really the upper reaches of how much money you want to throw across that line.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking to do right now. I'd actually like to drop Jamie Vardy to bring in Harry Kane. So Harry Kane and Dele Alli both came in as late second half substitutes in the game against Leicester, and Harry Kane scores a penalty kick, and his form is just too intriguing to me. And against Leicester, I think he's got a goal in this game for sure. Jamie Vardy, he's even a doubt to play, and even if he starts, I'm doubting that he scores.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good shot for a goal in this game too. I don't know how much you read into this match. It was impressive that Leicester was able to scrap out a draw. I can't believe they did, and really they really should have won this game. The Nathan Dyer handball was, I don't know. I mean, it was a legit penalty, I suppose. His hand was out, but it was just, it was really very lucky for Tottenham that he made such a big blunder. I mean, there was maybe 5 minutes left in the game,
right,
when that happened.
But are you favoring Spurs here in this matchup though for Game Week 21?
Yeah, definitely. I think that. I am too. I think they're definitely the favorites to win this game. Three wins and a draw in their last four. Leicester, two draws and a loss in the last three games. It feels like Spurs are still on the rise, and Leicester is sort of exhausted. I mean, it's the same Watford problem we talked about earlier, where it's just very hard to you can rotate squad a little bit in these FA Cup matches, but even then they can't. You can't rotate a full 11. So I think it's a lot of fixtures for these guys. And I think it's all going to start to fall apart maybe this week.
All right, let's break up the game weeks here with a question from our Twitter feed at Hail Cheaters. This one is from Tucker, who says, if you have a three-player team spine, defender, midfielder, attacker, which team and which three players would you choose?
Okay.
So it sounds like Tucker's asking us to pick an actual team from the Premier League.
Well, let's do both. So okay. I'll pick three. I bet we could agree on the three players we'd want for the spine.
Yeah, okay. No, for sure.
We could almost say it at once because that's how I'm sure we're going to agree on this.
Okay. Bellerin, so we'll start with. Okay, I was going to say Alderweireld.
Oh, okay. All right. So you say Alderweireld. I was going to say Bellerin.
Yeah.
And then Ozil.
Ozil.
And
Aguero.
Oh, I was going to say Lukaku. Okay. So I'm totally. I can't. Aguero to me has not shown enough to be the like a spine. Like he is a. He's a differential forward to me still. He's not.
Well,
he's not essential.
I guess we're taking this question from two different angles. I'm sort of looking forward, sort of trying to build the new template spine, which okay. I think if you fast forward like 5 weeks from now, it'll probably be something like Alderweireld, Ozil, Aguero. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, because to me, spine means like the consistent, like point, like delivers points like week in and week out, and then sort of off that spine, you have differentials. So you have the three players who you plug them in, you never worry about them because you know they're going to get you points every game week.
Yeah.
And I mean, and Aguero's got, you know, he's only scored in what, like 4 out of 20 fixtures this season.
Yeah.
So I think that I don't know if I mean Alderweireld maybe. You know, I mean, I guess he's probably he and Bellerin. It's that one's pretty tight, I'd say.
Well, I said last week among the must-have players, Bellerin was one of them. But the interesting thing about Alderweireld is his ability to get attacking points has really outweighed Bellerin's over the course of the season, and we've seen it a few times where Alderweireld hasn't been able to keep a clean sheet, but he's getting the goal or he's getting the assist. So therefore, he would be my pick. He's my pick.
Okay,
I'm thinking about it.
I mean, when I think of Alderweireld right now, I do think of that like raking crossfield pass to Dele Alli for the goal against Everton.
Right?
Or was it crossfield? It was certainly the length of the field. It was kind of I don't know how much of an angle.
Yeah,
it was
on. Yeah, a little more just straight up the middle, I suppose.
Yeah, great pass anyway.
Yeah, looked fantastic.
And if you had to pick one team, I guess this one is open to debate, I suppose.
I mean,
just given that 2 out of 3 of the teams I picked were Arsenal players, I suppose I'd go with Arsenal, especially because Drew has been pretty consistent in terms of goal scoring. He scored again in the FA Cup match this weekend.
Yeah.
I think that would be the team that I would pick for the spine.
It's all North London. It's either Arsenal or it's Spurs. I mean, Spurs are still on the ascendancy, but back to front, they seem just like a really well put together team. Great defenders, fantastic goalkeeper.
Midfield. So you'd go Alderweireld, Ali, Kane as your top of spine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think. I mean, Man City. Until Kevin De Bruyne starts scoring matches away from home, it's hard to think of him as like a totally essential player.
Yeah, City is just off limits as far as these universal lauding the team. Their defense is kind of garb. Their midfield is without a leader at this point.
Yeah.
David Silva really needs to come into this season. I mean, is he done? Is David Silva just done?
I just think it takes a long time to recover from these ankle injuries.
Yeah.
You see it in kind of any sport. When a player is battling an ankle injury, it just saps you of so much of your magic, you know, and your right. ability to really like you know, like play to like the sort of peak of your athleticism.
Right.
So I think that I don't know that we'll see it from him this year. You know, I mean, I think certainly not from an FPL perspective. I mean, he's obviously offered enough to that team that they're still starting him game week, you know, week in and week out. But I mean, you think of him like before he had that ankle injury. The first maybe 5 or 6 games of the season, he was a fantastic player. I mean, a borderline must-own player.
Right. Yeah.
You could actually argue for Yaya Toure, I guess, instead of KDB on that team.
Yeah, he's definitely more affordable. But when will he show up? Like, you never know. I guess he's shown some consistency, weirdly.
weirdly for him.
Yeah, like,
after kind of drifting away for several weeks, he's actually – so, yeah, he's got – I think we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, but he actually has attacking points in 4 of the last 5 game weeks.
Yeah. All right, another question we got online. William Chan says, what's up with Eriksen? The guy doesn't even get 90 minutes anymore. He's still on my team, but I always have to use transfers everywhere else. I was thinking of doing Eriksen to Ali, but it seems like a sideways move. That is anything but a sideways move. That is a total upgrade. You're freeing up money. You're getting a far better player. who's actually given out results to FPL managers this season as opposed to Eriksen. I assume you agree with me.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think if Ali's price was 8.5, we would never even have this debate. I mean, if his price was 8.5, you probably wouldn't have benched him away to Everton last weekend. You know, I mean, there's just something about that, him having that price in the 5 million range that makes you think that, I mean, granted, like there's a little bit of like a yellow card issue with him.
Yeah.
But he's offering so much. He's scoring home and away, you know, just like really at the center of that attack, playing with Kane up front the whole time. There's no reason not to play him every game week and treat him like a top drawer midfielder.
So I'm talking about getting rid of Ross Barkley just so I can avoid that Dele Alli benching decision.
Right.
Because I brought Dele Alli in because he was so cheap. He was 4.9 or even 5.0 when I bought him. And the idea was he would be a stud that sat on my bench for the rest of the season. But now he's unbenchable. So I'm shipping Ross Barkley, not in the Twitter sense, but I'm shipping him so that I can easily play Dele Alli as my fourth mid every week in, week out. So yeah, for sure. I'm team Alli all the way.
I agree. I mean, 5 goals and 5 assists so far in the season. Really excellent. And then that's actually missing 2 matches and the bulk of another match. So 5 goals and 5 assists in 17 game weeks is a really excellent return for someone you can think of as maybe a third or fourth midfielder.
Yeah.
Luke Thunberg asked on Twitter about cheap defensive options. He says he's possibly looking at Ivanovic and needs to free up some funds. So I think we talked about the Ivanovic thing a little bit. If you really want to bring in a Chelsea midfielder, I think that Azpilicueta offers you exactly the same amount of threat and bonus point potential for 0.8 million less. So that's where I go there. But what about just cheap defenders in general? Do you have a couple ideas, Brandon, a couple people who stick out to you as cheap defenders?
I mean, he's been on my team all season, and I've compared him to a warm, cuddly teddy bear before. But Robert Huth has come to be a defender that I actually value on my squad. And Leicester has been able to come by clean sheets a little more easily. And he does give you a pretty good goal threat on centerpieces for Leicester. And Robert Huth is there. He's playing 90 minutes every game, and he's 4.3.
I think that Danny Simpson is the player that I would bring in if I was bringing in a player from Leicester. Uh-huh. He's 4.1. He gets forward a little bit more. He's picked up an assist and 4 bonus points in the season already. I'm still not totally confident in looking at Leicester options. If I were wildcarding, I would definitely bring in Francis on Bournemouth. He's only 4.3 million. Just had a red card, so he's not a. I don't think he's on a ton of people's radars as people start to play early wild cards. But their fixtures are really solid. I mean, the thing about bringing in a really cheap defender is you don't need someone who's going to play every single game week. You just need someone that you can plug in maybe 3 out of 10 game weeks, right?
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
So, oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So home to West Ham. Chance of a clean sheet there for sure. Home to Norwich, definite chance of a clean sheet. And then the rest of the fixtures, I mean, over the next 10 weeks or so, there are enough matches where you could plug him in, away to Sunderland possibly, home to Stoke, home to Southampton, home to Swansea. I think Francis is the cheap defender that I would be looking at.
I mean, the Stoke defense we rave about a lot too, and Wolfside's still priced at 4.5.
Yeah,
and that's an easy route to the Stoke defense, which has shown to be able to string a lot of clean sheets together. And
yeah, that's a great point. And Joel Ward, who we talked about earlier, is another option. And I guess if you were looking for some cheap defenders who are certainly differential options, I suppose if you had the guts for it, you could look at Swansea too, because they have 4 home matches in their next 6, and one of their 2 away matches is away to West Brom, which could be a clean sheet too. So they're home to Sunderland, home to Watford, home to Crystal Palace and Southampton, and away to Everton and West Brom in their next 6. You could see clean sheets in 3 out of 6 of those matches for Swansea.
And Ashley Williams' insane 3-game run of 9 points, 9 points, 9 points.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I mean, they're basically like trying to Sam Allardyce it, right? They're just trying to just nick out enough draws and 1-0 wins to stay up. And, you know, I mean, I'm actually kind of talking myself into a Swansea defender because none of them are priced higher than 4.8 million. So there's no You know, they're very cheap and they're not going to break your bank at all to bring them in. Yeah, the whole plan for Swansea is just to piece together enough points that they can stay up this year. Right. So they have, you know, they have 19 points through 20 games. They probably, if they picked up another 19 in their next 20, that or in their next 18, that'd probably be enough for them to stay up. I mean, I know that 40 is kind of the number everybody talks about, but yeah. I think in the last couple of years, even having like 38 is enough to stay up. So I think
your math checks out.
Yeah, well, I think if they can pick up 19 points through seven draws and four wins, I think they would definitely take it.
Yeah. All right. This question is for you, Josh. It comes from Christoph Sasso. Who's got the worst haircut, Donald Trump or Gerard De La Feu?
Ooh, that is a tough one. I suppose De La Feu, because I mean, at least Trump isn't constantly smoothing it back.
Yeah, you know, Trump's haircut doesn't get in his way.
It also holds firm in the wind more than De La Feu's does.
Suspiciously so.
It's true. I think you could yank on that wig and it would not come off. And De La Feu, the slightest, a 3-mile-per-hour breeze, and De La Feu's hair is like flapping all over the place.
I don't even know if Donald – see, the whole thing about Trump's hair is I don't even think it's a wig. It's like the most elaborate comb-over of all time. I feel like – I mean I don't think Trump has a shred of integrity, but I think he feels he does to the extent he wants his comb over to or his wig to be all his own hair.
Okay, I'm not sure that I agree with you on that. No. It's a little too voluminous for someone of his age. I think he is definitely wearing a wig.
If that's a wig, why would you choose to get a wig that looks like that? When you get like a really cool looking haircut, like a mullet with a side spike, something that was a little more like party, a little more rock and roll.
All right, dude, I'm going to show you, like, I'm going to send you just pictures of Donald Trump wig Google image results, and you're going to see what I'm talking about here. We are looking at extensions for sure.
Oh. Why aren't there any comb overs in the Premier League?
This is a question for the men in Blazers. Like they love spending half their podcast talking about how bald everybody is. So we'll leave that to them.
All right. Speaking of hair, Josh, how's your hair? We've been sitting in the optimizer now for like a solid 45 minutes or so.
I know. It's feeling good. I feel my legs are a little warm. I need to go do some jumping jacks or something just to keep myself going here.
All right, let's get into game week 22. We're kicking it off with Spurs hosting Sunderland. This is another reason why I'm really desperate to get Harry Kane in, because hosting Sunderland means you're going to score some goals for sure, and you have to like your attacking assets for Spurs here.
Yeah, it's the only problem here is that it's an early match, and I still have this. It can't be real. I'm sure someone's like looked at the numbers here, but just I hate captaining a player in the first match of a game week. So this would be the Saturday morning match.
Right.
Part of it is it's just an emotional thing. It's just if your captain doesn't perform, you're kind of stressed out the whole week. But that's obviously insane, right? You have to captain Harry Kane at home to Sunderland, I think.
You would definitely think so. I mean, if we're still talking about Manchester City's form, their home hosting Crystal Palace, that's another great captaincy option.
Yeah, I mean, if Aguero and KDB look great at home to Everton, I think that you could probably just let it ride with one of those two players.
Yeah, I mean, less enticing is Leicester away to Aston Villa, but Mahrez might be due for a big haul.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Villa. So this could be a really big game week, game week 22.
Absolutely. Triple captain.
Possibly.
All right. So here's where the Spurs spine comes in for me. I definitely want to be starting a Spurs defender, midfielder, and Harry Kane going into the Sunderland match, if at all possible.
Yeah, you had to be a little annoyed that your boy Eric Dyer played in this match against Leicester.
Yeah, he was subbed out, though. So hopefully, around the 65th minute or so.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. Okay,
good. Yeah, I'm less concerned. That just shows how important Eric Dyer is to this squad, that he needs to be present.
I can see Allardyce making this a tough match for Spurs. I don't know that this is a, like, 4-0 shellacking, I think. 2-1 or 3-1, maybe. I mean, just based on what we saw in that Newcastle match at White Hart Lane a couple weeks ago. I mean, I think that there is... You know, it's some. I don't know.
It depends on how early Spurs score. I think if Spurs get off the block really early, then Sunderland just mentally will be defeated, and then we'll see a lot more goals come in, I think.
Yeah, it's a really tough run for Spurs. I mean, this actually is a match where I suppose they could possibly rest and rotate a little bit, because they're going to have to play a replay against Leicester like 4 days after this, and then they have
Europa League
matches coming up still too. So it's a lot of fixtures for Spurs. And that's pretty. The Europa League is such a joke, right? Like so many matches. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
And also I don't like the parachute thing where all the third place teams in the Champions League go into the Europa League. Doesn't that seem like it's like punishment for these Europa League teams? It's like you play all these matches, you win your league and you're like, "Oh, now I get to play like Bayer Leverkusen or something," you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, Bournemouth versus Norwich City. Here's a game for Simon Francis, I suppose, if you like him against Big Mo.
If I had a Bournemouth defender, I would definitely be starting them in this match. This is I'm not going to guarantee like my Chelsea guarantee. Okay. This is one of those.
You're going to be sending a lot of $5 bills out to listeners of this podcast.
One of those podcast, but I really feel confident. This is it's like a 1-0 Bournemouth win. And it's going to be some player that you have never heard of who scores the one. Which is like kind of how they won all their games so far.
Right.
Like early on in the season, it was Callum Wilson, and then they shifted to they score one goal in their wins, and it's always a player who is like a replacement defensive midfielder or something like that.
Yeah. All right, the next match here is really intriguing, and I think it's going to be the one that will signal where Chelsea is in their evolution this season, where they're hosting Everton. Now, Everton is not known for keeping the other team out of their goal, but you suspect if Chelsea smashes Everton here, then the comeback is on.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is a really intriguing match. You could see Everton winning this match. I think it's a hard one for us to go too far down from a fantasy perspective because we just don't know if Costa and Oscar are going to be healthy yet.
Right.
So if they're both healthy, then I think. Costa is like a possible differential captain option if he's healthy for this match.
Yes.
Because, Everton they're just giving up way too many goals. And I don't know. I think
What Costa did to Everton early last season, when it was that 6-3 burner.
Amazing match. Yeah. He had two goals. I had him that match, actually. It was a 13-pointer from Costa in that match.
Yeah.
Let's just say like this one's too inconclusive. We also don't know if Lukaku is going to be able to play yet either. So I'm not going to make a prediction on this one. It seems too early to tell.
All right, fair enough. Man City hosts Crystal Palace. Another pretty decent matchup for Man City at home. It becomes a little more difficult to put the armband on the likes of Aguero or KDB just because Crystal Palace has that really workmanlike, dogged attitude.
Right. I don't know. I think you could definitely captain those two players in this match. I don't know. I mean, they get goals from their defenders, but they do concede. I don't know. I mean, they just conceded 3 goals to Chelsea last weekend.
Right. No, it's true. It's true. They did look like crap in that game.
Oriol Romeu scored on them this weekend, Brandon. If Oriol Romeu was scoring on you, your defense is not impenetrable.
My God, I think you're right. But what about Crystal Palace's chances of putting one past Man City? I mean, Man City's defense, very leaky. We all know how they are without Vincent Kompany. But then Crystal Palace is having trouble scoring. Definitely getting attacking points from their midfield and their strike force is pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think this is like a 3-0 win for Man City. I do not think Crystal Palace is going to score in this game. I there was some rumors that Charlie Austin was being looked at as an option for Crystal Palace. I don't know if that was just speculation that was out there because it's such a logical move for them.
Yeah,
he's like the
good Connor Wickham.
Yeah, exactly. And I am personally very fond of Charlie Austin. I wish he was back in the Premier League. He's a really fun player to root for. Fun player to own from a fantasy perspective because he can score on bad teams. And everybody loves having a guy on their fantasy team who can score on bad teams.
Yeah.
Because having a player on a bad team, it means they're going to score. They're going to play every game week. They're going to play like 90 minutes the whole time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 3-0 Man City destroys Crystal Palace. Fair enough. I'll take it.
Oh, Newcastle West Ham is the next one.
Okay. The Dimitri Payet comeback tour could commence or continue here against Newcastle. And also former Newcastle player Andy Carroll Might be hungry for a goal or two here at the Sports Direct Arena.
Yep. So Payet is the one to look at here, and possibly Aaron Cresswell, who is slightly undervalued, I think, still. We talked about him a little bit in the last podcast, but his ownership is fairly low, and yeah, he's really delivering. He's delivering from a defensive point of view. He's picking up bonus points, you know, without scoring. And he has, you know, really nice goal threat. And I don't know. I mean, you know, so the run of fixtures for West Ham, if you were looking at Cresswell, they're very solid, I'd say, through the next, like, seven game weeks. They're away to Bournemouth, away to Newcastle, home to Man City, which is, you know, the one sort of tough fixture in that run. But then home to Aston Villa, away to Norwich, home to Sunderland. So, you know, he's definitely an option. And 5.5 is not prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, I mean, that run is truly epic. As soon as I sort out other things in my team, West Ham defense is definitely a priority.
Yeah, and I think it's worth the extra money for him on that West Ham defense because he is going to start every game week, and he offers more attacking threat than I think any other West Ham defenders. I mean, you could save money with someone like Winston Reid, but you're just not going to get the goals and the assists.
Yeah,
I mean, Winston Reid, he hasn't actually played for 5 weeks, but, you know, someone like Angelo Ogbonna.
And Newcastle is – there's just nothing to take away from this team right now. Even guys like Wijnaldum or Sissoko or Perez – there's been no consistency there. I don't even know if it's worth – how is it even worth talking about?
No.
Is it worth talking about, Josh?
No, I don't think so. I think West Ham's going to win this game. I think they're going to win like 2-0.
I love it when – okay, so you're struggling for something to say about Newcastle, and the inevitable word that comes out of everyone's mouth is Janmaat? Question mark.
Yeah, it's true. He's the one play, you know, he's kind of affordable. He gets, you know, he like scores a little bit, picks up some assists, but they just don't keep enough clean sheets.
All right. A couple of slog fixtures here. Southampton hosting West Brom. Not terribly appetizing, this matchup, but,
nope.
But there it is. Southampton, yeah, in terrible form.
West Brom in pretty bad form themselves. Let's say it's a 0-0 match and move on.
Move on with their lives. All right. Now, Villa is hosting Leicester City in the following matchup. That's the late game on Saturday. Leicester will probably be here looking to get back to winning ways, looking to get back to dominant ways.
Yeah, this is an interesting match. I think for Leicester, this is really we'll find out what they're going to look like the second half of the season in this match, because if they you know, the Spurs, they could lose away to Spurs at midweek, and it wouldn't necessarily be a reflection on who they are. I mean, Spurs are in really good form, and, you know, it's a home match for them. And I don't think you can draw too much in this FA Cup match we just watched. You know, and in fact, the fact that they just drew at home to Leicester makes them more likely to take them really seriously when they play them midweek. But if Leicester is seriously going to challenge for, if not the league, at least a Champions League spot, I think that they have to they gotta just roll over Aston Villa in this match. You know, they have to beat teams like this, like teams that they're clearly better than, and maybe get their confidence back up a little bit. So,
right.
That said, I actually don't know that they'll do that. I think that after two tough matches against Spurs, I think they might actually lose this match. I mean, I could see this game being like another 0-0 draw. You know,
God, are we predicting that Aston Villa could get 6 points in the next two game weeks?
I mean, there's no rational reason to pick that. It just seems like, given the laws of sports, that every bad team eventually has their day. You know, right. You think that eventually, and I just think Leicester, they must be exhausted, right? I mean, they're just playing, I mean, I know they go about, what do they go, like 14 deep or so. I mean, they have a few bench options that they can roll up, but in general, it's really the
Andy
same.
Andy King, where are you?
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw in this match. I'll see both teams scoring a goal.
Okay. And Riyad Mahrez.
What is your prediction for this match?
Well, I see Mahrez doing his thing in this game, possibly. I would say 2-1. I would say Leicester win handily, but concede one late goal.
That also seems plausible. I mean, I hope that happens. I'm pulling for Leicester this season.
Well, who isn't?
Who isn't?
All right, Liverpool going to host Manchester United here. And
Fascinating game.
Do you remember Christian Benteke's insane like bicycle kick goal when these guys faced off earlier this season?
Yeah, I almost forgot about it, but yes, I do.
Robbed me of a David De Gea clean sheet. It was it was really aggravating, but one of the goals of the season, without a doubt, which we all may have forgotten about because there have been so many good goals.
So if you had a Man United defender, would you start them in this match? Like, I have Chris Smalling, and it's a tough call whether I want to start him in this match.
Yeah, I will definitely be starting David De Gea, only because my other goalkeeper is Wayne Hennessy, and away at Man City is a non-starter. So, yeah, sure. I don't have much of a choice.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, would you rather
I wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have Russell Martin on my bench, and maybe you could possibly start him away to Bournemouth, and that's probably a more attractive match than Man United Liverpool. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean,
it's a tough call. It's another one where I would gravitate toward the more expensive player irrationally, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think Liverpool will be up for this game. I'm actually going to pick a Liverpool win. I think Liverpool's going to win this game. That Man U team is just—they are like desperately in need of a new manager or an infusion of energy. You know, they need like the kind of energy that Angel De Maria brought for like four matches last year when he first joined the team. Uh-huh. You know, they just need like a talented kind of playmaker to come along and just revitalize all of their, you know, their revitalize their attack and all of their other attacking players. But without that, I think it's a 2-1 Liverpool win. Stoke Arsenal is the next match on Sunday, the final match on Sunday.
Okay, so how do you predict this one? Arsenal, they never respond well to tough conditions, and if it's bad weather at the Britannia on this particular day, then it could be tough for the Gunners, right?
Yeah, I think Stoke's going to win this match. I think just because they've done it already a couple times this year, I think this could be like a 2-0 Stoke match, Stoke win. And I'm really looking at Arnautovic now as an option for the next two game weeks.
So what was the whole deal with the contract dispute? Like Stoke just decided to offer Arnautovic a contract extension, and then he turned it down, and it was some sort of gamesmanship happening there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it, right? I mean, let's face it. Like, we were kind of critical about Arnautovic on our Twitter feed because he's been so inconsistent for this team. And like, naturally, the first time he gets a contract offer, he's like, "No, I think I'll wait till like a better club comes along." Basically, but you can't totally blame him. I mean, you know, it's not like Stoke has historically been a top spot, and if he feels like he can. And I like the Stoke team this year, and I like what they're building. And
yeah, you know, so is that a problem? They're like building a team full of these big name players, guys like Shaqiri, these very continental players.
Yeah.
And if Arnautovic's reaction is any indication, Stoke has to be afraid of becoming just like a selling club.
Yeah, I mean, it's a noble experiment to do this, but yeah, it could really. And maybe that's okay. I mean, maybe they're okay with banking a lot of money, you know, and like that's part of it's sort of the Newcastle method, you know, of like bringing in young French talent, you know, sort of and then selling them on to the highest bidder. But I think that's why this move is always so risky, is because you have all these players who are basically going to look for the exit ramp as soon as they can. Yeah, so I don't think it'll affect Arnautovic that much. I mean, I don't really understand what they're – I mean, so like the news right now, they're saying that Arnautovic is demanding a contract in excess of 100K a week for a new contract. Now, that seems like a lot, but this, given that he's arguably the most important player on that team, given how much money there is in the Premier League right now, I don't know why they wouldn't just give that to him. I mean, it seems like – If he's your best player from an attacking point of view, which he probably is, I think you just have to like move heaven and earth to keep him.
A little bit like Raheem Sterling at Liverpool. Like that guy became the only positive thing that was going at Liverpool.
Yeah.
And they decided, let's sell him and hang everything on a guy without any character, Jordan Henderson. They're just going to sell a lot of Jordan Henderson jerseys.
You don't like Jordan Henderson?
Well, I don't mean that he lacks like moral fortitude when I say he lacks character, but he's just sort of like a boring yeoman like player. I mean, I don't dislike him, but
yeah, I don't know.
He's not a star.
Maybe he's been injured a lot this year, so it's hard to say. I don't think we've seen the best of Jordan Henderson this year. I think
my point though. My point, though, is that they did not make it a priority to keep Raheem Sterling in that club. They were happy to just take the money and let the fallout within the club happen.
Yeah, that's true. Although I think he was really, I think he really wanted to move. I think he was really adamant about going to. I don't know how much of that's Brendan Rodgers' fault. I mean, you wonder if Jurgen Klopp had been there in the offseason, if he could have convinced him to stay. I think he probably could have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, like, wouldn't a player like Sterling thrive in a Jurgen Klopp system?
Yeah.
It seems really conducive to his talents. And now he's on Man City. He's playing, like, 45 minutes at a time. He's not playing certain game weeks. I mean, he can't be thrilled with how his season's gone so far.
I have no idea. Who knows? Who knows the mind of a Sterling?
The mind of a 20-year-old. It's hard to predict.
All right. I think you're right. It's going to be a tough match for Arsenal, but I'm actually going to flip the scoreline for you and say it's a 2-1 Arsenal victory here.
2-1 Arsenal victory. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And brings us to the final match, the Martin Luther King Day fixture we've all been clamoring for. Swansea hosting Watford.
All right, so, I mean, let's revisit that question about doubling up on Ighalo and Deeney. I mean, here's a struggling Swansea team, even though they've kept a handful of clean sheets recently. But you really have to like Watford in this match. I like them quite a bit going against Swansea.
Yeah, I like them in this match, too. But as we said earlier, I mean, Swansea is, like, they're clearly dedicated to not letting anyone score on them again. Like, I think they would be happy to take 18 straight 0-0 draws and stay up this year.
But there's that Kool-Aid man nature about Ighalo, where he'll just take the ball and burst through a brick wall. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that sort of mentality on Swansea's part is going to help them at all against Watford.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because what I said about Leicester and Aston Villa kind of applies to Watford, too, just to a slightly lesser extent. You know, Watford has been, you know, if Leicester didn't exist, then Watford would be the kind of everyone's favorite second team this year, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe they are regardless of what Leicester is doing because the Ighalo-Deeney thing has been so fun to watch. But, you know, they've lost a couple matches in a row, and this is a game they really should be winning, and they should be winning it pretty handily, I think. So I think we're really going to learn something about Watford, depending on how, you know, based on how they play in this game. You know, if it looks like they've got the strength to last throughout the rest of the season, this is like a 2-0 win. If it looks like they're starting to fade, then this is probably like a 1-0 loss or something like that, you know, or a 0-0 draw maybe.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's still a lot to unpack going into these two pretty interesting game weeks. So feel free to reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters on Twitter, and find us on Facebook @@AlwaysCheating. All those contact details are on our website, alwayscheating.com. And hey, I'll see you in section 20 in 233B, Josh.
All right, Brendan, I'll see you there.
Hail Poku.
Hail Poku.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.